In Chapter 5 of The Adventures of Sonny and Buddy, Betty was rescued from the border bandits who had kidnapped her. Doc paid the $500 ransom demanded by the kidnappers, and when Betty joined our adventures, she was immediately taken into the house car to rest and tell the story of her experience. She stopped suddenly and screamed, "Look! Look! The face at the window!" Then she fainted. Tonight we'll learn just what Betty saw at the window.
What's happened to Betty?
She fainted.
But what caused her to faint?
She screamed and said something about seeing a man's face at the window.
That's right, she did. I'll go outside and take a look around and see if I can find anyone.
Wait, Doc. There it is again at the window. That's the face she saw.
Why, it's the Mexican boy.
What Mexican?
The one who waved us down on the road and gave us a note from Betty with a secret code on it.
What does he mean by staring in at the window and frightening this girl? Ask him what he wants.
All right. ¿Qué quiere, señor?
Vine aquí porque quiero saber qué tienen ustedes.
He says he followed us to see what all the excitement is about.
Well, he shouldn't have stared into the window. Betty thought it was one of the bandits.
Look, Doc, Betty's coming too. Her eyelids are quivering.
Betty, Betty,
do you feel better now?
Yes, I feel better. Has he gone?
Has who gone?
Why, the bandit who was staring at me through the window.
Well, that was no bandit, Betty. It was only a Mexican boy. The one who helped us find you. He's your friend. He handed us the note you dropped from the automobile and told us which way to follow. Do you feel all right now?
Yes. I'm sorry I frightened you, but I thought the bandits had come to take me away again.
Well, if you feel strong enough, we'll move and get out of these woods.
Oh, please do, Dad. Get as far away from the bandit shack as possible.
We want to make some town or village soon and give a show before dark. Well, Charcoal, get going. Oh, Buddy, tell the Mexican boy to climb on the truck and go with us a little way. I may want to use him.
Use him? Use him for what, Dad?
Well, he may be able to tell me how I can smuggle Sonny and Buddy and Charcoal into Mexico without putting up bonds.
Oh, Dad, don't try to do that. It's dangerous. Besides, I want you to send the boys back to their mother. Just think how she's worrying about them.
I can't send them back now, Betty. Don't you understand? I'm flat broke. I paid my last $500 to the bandits who kidnapped you. I've got to make some more money, and I'm depending on Sonny and Buddy to help me make it.
But, Dad, we managed to get along before we saw them.
Yes, we managed to make a living, but now I've got to make enough money to take me to some foreign country. The police are liable to catch up with me any minute, and if they find Sonny and Buddy in my possession, it means prison.
Mr. Doc, the Mexican boy's up on the driver's seat with Charcoal. I asked him how far it is to the next town, and he said about a half mile.
Well, we can stop there and give a show. Well, boys, you need a little more black on your faces. Oh, Betty, do you feel well enough to play the piano and the calliope?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm all right now.
All right. Now, pull yourselves together and forget those bandits. And remember, after the show comes a big feed in honor of Betty's safe return.
And are we hungry?
Mr. Doc, there's a little village ahead of us. You all better start the music now so the folks will know there's a show coming to town.
All right, Betty. And give it lots of pep. And Charcoal, you see that cafe ahead of us? Well, as soon as you park the house car, go over there and tell the manager to fix up a big dish of fried chicken and all the fixings. We're going to have a banquet as soon as we finish the show. Well, here comes the natives. Stop here, Charcoal. Come right on up, folks. Step up close so you won't miss a single word. Young man, would you like to get rid of that wart on your nose? And you, madam, I know you would just love to have a full head of beautiful blonde hair, just like the famous movie actresses. Folks, this little bottle, which I hold in my hand, will cure any ill of man or beast. If you have lumbago, toothache, fallen arches, or ingrowing nails, you should by all means have a bottle of my tonic and tora. $1 per bottle. Now, while my assistant passes among you with the medicine, we'll entertain you with songs and jokes. And now our opening number, Little Rastus, our miniature model of a black-faced comedian singing Pudd'nhead Jones.
Pudd'nhead Jones was fat and funny, dumber than sticks and stones. And that's just why the kids all called him Pudd'nhead Jones. He couldn't spell Constantinople, he didn't know beans from bones. Pencils and books were never made for Pudd'nhead Jones. Teacher told his mother she would take him right in hand and teach him a thing or two. Like his older brother, he began to understand. He learned everything she ever knew. All of the kids to teacher carried. candy and ice cream cone. But who do you think the teacher married? Wooden-head, Puddin'-head John.
Did you like it, folks? Of course you did. And now little Sambo will entertain you with Stars Fell on Alabama.
Hey, wait a minute, Sambo. Hey, Sambo, wait a minute. You ain't going to wear that old hat when you sing before all that crowd of people, is you?
What's the matter with my hat, Rastus?
Why, what's the matter with it? Why, it's positively the worst-looking hat I ever did see on a boy's head. I's ashamed of you, Sambo.
Ain't nothing wrong with my hat, except it's just old. Besides, who cares about my hat?
I does. What'll all this audience think about you wearing that hat, huh? What'll they think? Answer me that. Here, you give me that old hat.
Well, Rastus, don't go crazy about my old hat. Just put it back on my head, that's all.
What? Put that dirty old hat back on your head? No, sir, I should say not. I'll show you where that dirty old hat belongs. On the floor, there. Now, I guess that'll learn you something.
How come you throws my hat on the floor that way, huh?
Okay, that's where it belongs.
Sure enough.
Yeah.
Give me your hat, Rastus. Give me your hat. There, now. How did you like that, huh?
What you mean by throwing my brand new hat on the floor like that, huh?
Well, what did you mean by throwing my old hat on the floor?
Okay, that's where that old piece of junk belongs. Now you pick up my new hat.
Then you pick up my old hat.
I positively refuse it to pick up your old hat.
Then I absolutely refuse it to pick up your new hat. But listen, Rastus.
Hmm.
If I prove to you why you should pick up my old hat, will you do it?
Yes, sir, Sambo. If you can prove to me why I should pick up that old hat, then I will.
Well, then listen. Why? The scene is in a courtroom. A young man has been found guilty of murder by a jury of 12 men. The stern judge looks down at the young man and says, "Prisoner at the bar, it becomes my painful duty to follow the dictates of the 12 jurymen and denounce sentence on you. The good book says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. My duty, therefore, compels me to sentence you to be hung by the neck until you is dead. And may the Lord have mercy on your soul." Just at that moment, the poor boy's mammy, old and bent and gray, throwed both arms around the boy's neck and lovingly kissed him. And what do you think that ungrateful boy done? He drawed back his fists, and with one swift, awful blow, he knocked his poor old mammy to the floor. At the same moment, the sheriff drawed back his strong arm and he knocked the boy to the floor. Now then, if you was there, would you pick up that poor old lady? Or would you pick up that young brute?
What? I'd pick up that poor old lady. Of course.
Well then, pick up my poor old hat.
Oh, yeah. Ladies
and gentlemen, my little playmate Sambo entertained you with Stars Fell on Alabama. Give him a hand, folks. We lived our little drama. We kissed in a field of white, and stars fell on Alabama last night. I can't forget the glamour. Your eyes held a tender light, and stars fell on Alabama last night. I never planned in my imagination a situation so heavenly, a fairy land where no one else could enter, and in the center, just you and me, dear. My heart beat like a hammer, my arms wound around you tight, and stars fell on Alabama last night.
And that's all for tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and I thank you one and all for your kind attention.
Here's the supper, Mrs. Dunk. Is you all ready to eat?
Boy, I say we are. Look at all that fried chicken.
Well, go inside the house, Gar, and sit down and eat. I have a man out here I must talk with.
Oh, put the tray on this table, Charcoal. What part of the chicken do you want, Sonny?
Well, I'll take the drumstick,
and I'll take some of the light meat.
Boy, this sure tastes good. I didn't realize I was so hungry.
We wouldn't eat until after you were found, Betty. We were too excited.
Oh, bless your heart. I believe you do like me, don't you?
Of course we do, Betty.
Well, let me fill your plate with some salad and vegetables.
Well, boys, I hate to rush you, but you're going to have to finish your supper later. Betty, pack the supper in a box. Sonny and Buddy are going with this man.
Going where?
To Mexico. He has a friend who is going to smuggle you boys across the river into Mexico.
Oh, Mr. Doc, we don't want to go with that strange man. Why, we don't even know him.
Well, how do we know where he'll take us?
Well, Charcoal is going with you. He'll see that you're taken care of. But I warn you, boys, not to try to run away. I'll take Betty in the truck and drive back to Laredo and meet you three on the other side of the river.
Well, why can't you take Betty in the truck and go with us?
Because the only way to get the truck into Mexico is to drive it back to Laredo and cross the International Bridge. Now, Charcoal, I want you to take this gun and stay close to these boys and look out for them. If anyone tries to harm Sonny and Buddy, you shoot and shoot to kill.
Oh, Mr. Doc, please don't make us go with this strange man.
Dad, are you sure you can trust him?
Of course we can. That's his business, smuggling people. We'll go on with the truck and be on the other side waiting for you when you get there. You'll be all right.
Goodbye, boys.
Goodbye, Betty.
I feel like we're never going to see you again, Betty.
Oh, certainly you will. Now remember what I said, Charcoal. If anyone tries to harm Sonny and Buddy, shoot and shoot to kill. Goodbye, boys. Meet you on the other side of the river.
Goodbye, boys.
Don't leave us alone with this strange man.
Mr. Doc, please take us home to our mother.
You'll be all right, boys. Don't worry. Goodbye.
Mr. Doc, please don't make us go with this strange man.
Mr. Doc, please take us home to our mother.
Please wait,
Mr. Doc, don't
make
us go with this man.
Well, we don't blame Sonny and Buddy for not wanting to go with this strange man. And we think Doc is doing a very foolish and dangerous thing in sending our little adventurers out into the river with the smuggler. Be sure and tune in for the next episode. It promises to be a real thriller.